Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud Beis Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Arba Achim Nesum Arba Noshim V'Mesu. If there were four brothers married to four women, and all four of these brothers passed away, Imratza HaGodl Shebehem L'Yabmas Kulam, if the oldest of the four brothers wants to be the brother to do Yibam to all of the widows, he may. Harashus b'yadai, he may do so. And as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, what the Mishnah here means is obviously that not all the brothers passed away. There are remaining brothers who are the ones that will do Yibam u'chalitza. And our Mishnah teaches us that the oldest brother has the first right to choose to do Yibam u'chalitza, and he even has the right to do Yibam with all four widows if he so chooses. If someone was married to two women and he died, Yibam u'chalitza to one widow will exempt the other widow either from chalitza or yibam from any obligation. And as we learned this Gemara already previously on Dafir Aleph explaining the Mishnah, the brother died and he left two widows. One widow was already a woman who was disqualified to marry a kohen. And as we have also been learning, the halacha is that a chalutza, a woman that receives chalitza, is disqualified from marrying a kohen. So says the Mishnah, Haysa achas ksher v'achas psula. If from the two widows that are left, one is a woman who may marry kohanim, and one is a woman who's already disqualified to marry a kohen, im ha'yecholitz. So if the yavam chooses to do chalitza, chalitz lepsula, he should do chalitza with the woman who's already disqualified anyway from marrying a kohen, not to disqualify another woman for no reason from being able to marry a kohen. However, imhayim yabim, if this brother is choosing to do yibum, their halach is miyabim lekshera, he could do yibum with the woman who is qualified to marry a kohen. He could choose which of the two wives that his brother left to be the woman that he wants to do yibum with. So begins the Gemara with the question that we alluded to when we learned the Mishnah. Arba ach and salka daitach, is pshat in our Mishnah there were four brothers and all four of them passed away? If all the brothers passed away, there's no one left to do yibum chalitza. Says the Gemara, ela ema arba mei achim, there were more than four brothers and four of those brothers passed away, and now our Mishnah teaches us what the remaining brothers, what is the halacha with the remaining brothers. So the Mishnah said, harishus biyadai, if the oldest brother wants to do yibam with all four of these widows, he may do so. And as the Ritva points out, the point of our Gemara's question is that the language that the Mishnah employs of rishus biyadai, that he has permission and that it's acceptable, is what the Gemara is going to focus on. The Shafkile asked the Gemara, is this something that we actually approve, that one brother should do yibum to all the widows? The Tanya, the Pasuk, the Braisa says regarding the Pasuk that describes the din of yibum and chalitza, the Karloi Ziknei Iroi, teaches us the Braisa Heim V'Loi Shluchan, the Bezdin themselves, not the Shlichim, are the ones that summon these brothers. The Dibru Elov, Melamich Mesin Loi Eitzah Hygienis Loi, we give him the appropriate advice. As the Malbim points out, the words V'dibra Elov are seemingly superfluous. The Torah already told us that the Bezdin summons him. So obviously the Bezdin is summoning him to talk to him. Why does the Pasuk have to say V'dibra Elov? Teaches us, the Braisa, the Pasuk is teaching us, Melamich Mesin Loi Eitzah Hygienis Loi, we give him appropriate advice. Shimhuai if the remaining brother is a younger person and the widow is an older woman, or vice versa, he's an older person and she's young, Eitzel Yada? Is it appropriate for you to marry a young woman? Malchetz Zakaina, is it appropriate for you to marry an older person? It has to match. Kalach Eitzel Shekamoscha, marry a woman that has something in common with you. V'atosim Ketotim Veisecha, don't bring disagreement into your house when you marry a person who's not similar to you. So we see that marrying many women, or marrying women, doing yibum with women that are inappropriate, is something Bezdin tries to avoid. Here too, is it appropriate that he should marry four widows, which is a big expense? But the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRosh points out that if we pay attention to what the Beis Din tells this person, we see that Beis Din tries to give him advice, tries to give him guidance, but we do not find, says the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRosh, that Beis Din specifically tells him, do not marry, do not do Yibum, do only Chalitza. Because as we've been learning, Yibum is the preferable mitzvah over Chalitza. So Beis Din will never explicitly tell him, don't do Yibum. What Beis Din tries to do is open up his eyes and draw his attention to the situation. Answers the Gemara. So the question is, so how does our Mishnah suggest that one brother should do Yibum to all four widows? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha de'efshalai. Our Mishnah is referring to a person who has the means that he could provide for all four of the widows, and therefore he has the right to do Yibum to all four of them. In fact, interestingly, there's a Yerushalmi that says that there was a man, there was a Yavam, that did Yibum with 12 widows of his brothers. Again, because it's efshalai. Ask the Gemara, if we're referring in our Mishnah to a person who has the means to support so many wives, so why is our Mishnah limiting itself to four widows? Answers the Gemara, Eitzah Taiva Kamashmon. The Mishnah is giving us an Eitzah, Arba in, four, Tveiloi, not more than four. The Keicha, the Matcha Oina B'chaydish, in order they should be able to have relations with each one of these wives if he takes them in for Yibum at least once a month. As the Mefarshim explain, and as the Gemara explains, Masechta Ksubos, the halacha is that a person is obligated to have relations with his wife, and the halacha is that a woman who's taken in as Yibum has that right to have relations with her husband. That right is once a month. And the halacha is that Talmud Chacham, generally the Gemara describes what is the amount of time each different type of person have relations with their wives. Talmud Chacham has relations with his wife once a week, has relations once a week, so if he takes in four Yevamos, each woman will have a turn once a month to be with her husband. As the Mukhe Yosef explains this Gemara, even though, as we just said, the Gemara in Masechta Ksubos describes different people and having different frequencies and having relations with their wife, the Gemara says a Talmud Chacham, as we just said, is once a week. A poyel, a laborer, has relations twice a week, says the Mukhe Yosef. That's by a wife that the husband and wife chose to get married to each other. So when they chose to get married to each other, they understood what obligations they have towards each other, and a husband has an obligation to have oina, to have relations with his wife, if he's a Talmud Chacham, once a week, and so on. However, here we're referring to a situation of Isha, as we use this, as the Gemara uses this terminology, Isha, hikdun lo min ha-shamayim, it's not a wife that this man chose, rather, it's a Yavama that fell to him to do the mitzvah Yibam. Here, he only has an obligation to have relations with her once a week. And the Mukhe Yosef goes even a step further, because he asks a question. If we just said that Poyalim, workers, have relations with their wives twice a week, so ostensibly, a Poyal should be allowed to marry eight Yavamas, because he has relations twice a week, so he'll have with each Yavama once a month if he has eight wives. says the Nemuke Yosef, that even though we said that a poyel has relations with his wife twice a week, he has to have relations twice a week, that's only with wives that he chose to be his wives. But Isha, Ashehitnu Loim Neshamayim, the wife that felt him from Yibum, such even a poyel does not have to have relations more than once a week. It's interesting that the Rambam has an entirely different approach to this Gemara. The Rambam says that even a wife who one chose, not a Yavama, a Talmud Chacham does not have to have relations with her more than once a month, and a Poyel has to have relations twice a week, but they explain it's not a din in the woman, it's a din in the man. The Meshech Chachma explains, based on this, the pasuk that Lavan told Yaakov as Yaakov was leaving his home. He told him, "Im tana es benoisai, vim tikach noshmal benoisai." So Rashi says, "Im tikach bonim, im tana es benoisai," that you will withhold oina, you will withhold the having relations with the wife. "Vim tikach noshmal benoisai," don't take extra wives. Why don't take extra wives? Because Yaakov, we know, had four wives, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. If we're learning now that every wife is entitled to relations once a month, and Yaakov, a Talmud Chacham, has relations once a week, so Lavan was telling Yaakov, given that you're a Talmud Chacham, and you're only going to have relations once a week, you're going to only be able to fulfill your requirement if you have these four wives, if you don't take any more wives, and then you will not be able to fulfill your obligations to your wife. The Mishnah told us, if a person died and left two widows, so the yibum or chalitza of one wife that exempts the other wife. Ask the Gemara, then the yabim l'tavayu, and as the Rishonim introduce to help us understand the Gemara, what the Gemara, as we're going to learn now, tries to think of different options that both wives should have yibum, chalitza, one wife yibum, one wife chalitza. And the Rishonim explain, why is the Gemara going to such great length to try to accomplish this? So they explain, it was difficult to the Gemara to understand how one wife should get yibum and chalitza, and all the other wives of this husband who passed away are totally exempt. Are they any less wives to this deceased husband than the wife who receives Yibum Chalitza? And therefore the Gemara suggested, for the Yavim L'Tavayu, perhaps both women should be receive Yibum. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Abba Amrav Yoichran, Amr Kra, Ashla Yivnes Beis Echov. Teaches us the Pasuk, Bayis Echu Rabbeinu, Yavim builds up only one home from his deceased brother, Venebani Shnei Batim, not two homes. Ask the Gemara v'Nachlitz l'Tavayu. Perhaps both should receive chalitza. Amar Mazut Rabat Tuvia, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Beis Chalutza Nal, Beis Echaru Chalitz, only chalitza is only performed once. V'Eina Chalitz Shnei Batim, chalitza is not performed twice. Only one wife is a candidate for chalitza. It's interesting that the Sfarim quote that on Shabbos we know we say Ritzei Vachlitzenu by Berachas Hamazon. Ritzei Vachlitzenu, the word Hachlitzenu is very simple, similar to the words Chalutz Hanal. In fact, I saw that the Sfarim bring down that we know it says V'nikra Shmoi Beis Chalutz Hanal. The gematria of V'nikra Shmoi is the same as Shabbos. Similarly, the gematria of Beis Chalutz Hanal is the same as Shabbos, and the gematria of Chalutza Naloi is the same gematria as Ritzei. And the Magen Avraham explains this. He says that on Shabbos we say Ritzei Vachlitzenu, which is similar to Chalitza, just like what Chalitza accomplishes. It separates the relationship, the Zika, that exists between the Yavam and the Yavama. So too, on Shabbos, a person the whole week is, so to speak, trapped into the tirdus, into the issues that this world brings to it, but on Shabbos Vachlitzenu, we are released from the confines of this Gashmistig world to begin to feel the Kedusha. Ask the Gemara, V'niyavim l'chada, V'nachlitz l'chada, perhaps he should perform Yibum with one widow, and then do Chalitz with the other widow. Answers the Gemara, Amakra im la yachbaitz. The Torah, in describing the ability for Yavim to do Yibum, he doesn't want to do Yibum, he could do Chalitza. Hachafetz, but if he wants to do Yibum, he may. Teaches us the Gemara, Kal oil Yibum oil Chalitza. Or a person who's a candidate for Yibum is a candidate for Chalitza. Kasha enel Yibum en oil Chalitza, but if she's not a candidate for Yibum, she's not a candidate for Chalitza. Since this woman, as we just proved, the second wife, cannot be a candidate for Yibum, because only one wife, only one widow, can be a candidate for Yibum. Similarly, so she can no longer be a candidate for Chalitza either. As to Ritva, this concept of Kol Ha'olah L'Yibum Olah L'Chalitza and Kol She'ena Olah L'Yibum Ena Olah L'Chalitza is a concept that we've discussed many times in our Masechta. Why would the Gemara even think that a woman who cannot receive Yibum should be able to receive Chalitza, that the Gemara has to teach it to us again? Answers the Ritva. We might have thought that when does the rule of Kol Oil Yibum Oil Chalitza, Kol She'ena Oil Yibum En Oil Chalitza apply, is by a woman from when her husband died was never a candidate for Yibum. Teaches us that there we would think that since she's not a candidate for Yibum, she's also not a candidate for Chalitza. But if there was a woman who at one time was a candidate for Yibum, even though later she's no longer a candidate for Yibum, like the woman that we're describing, the husband died and left two widows, both widows are equally candidates for Yibum. There the halacha of Kol Oil Yibum Oil Chalitza, Kol She'ena Oil Yibum Oil Chalitza should not apply. That's why the Gemara has to teach us that even under these circumstances, this rule applies. Ask Taisus, if this is the rule, why is the halacha that we're going to learn that a cheresh v'chereshes, people who are unable to speak, so they can't perform chalitza, because as we learned and will learn, that during the chalitza ceremony, the yavam have to say the psukim of the Torah. So the Gemara says, since they are unable to say those psukim, they're only candidates for chalitza, they're only candidates for yibam, not for chalitza. But as Taisus, we're saying that Yibum and Chalitza travel together, and if they can't do Chalitza, they should not be able to do Yibum either. Answers Taisus that the concern, the issue with a Cheresh and Chereshes is not that they're totally disqualified. To use the language of Taisus, Pumayuhu de Kavluhu, their mouths are bothering them. They have a technical difficulty that they're unable to speak. That is what prevents them from being candidates for Chalitza. But not that they're inherently disqualified. And in fact, the Avnei Nezer says that this is the basis for halacha that the Magen Avraham quotes. The halacha is that someone who is exempt from wearing tefillin cannot be the cipher to write tefillin. And therefore, women and children cannot be the cipher to write tefillin. Says the Magen Avraham, let's say that someone, Rechmon Tzlon, is a kidim. He's missing his left hand, but he, Baruch Hashem, still has his right hand. He may write tefillin. He's exempt from the mitzvah tefillin. He doesn't have a left hand. Explain, Magen Avraham, Avnei Nezer, it's not that he's inherently exempt, disqualified from the mitzvah. It's just that he has a technical difficulty that he's missing the left hand, but that doesn't totally exempt him. Similarly, the Devar Chaim says, this is the reason why if the Yavam is missing a leg, Rachmana Letzlan, it's not that he's totally exempt from the mitzvah Yibum, he will still have to do mitzvah Yibum, it's only a technical difficulty preventing him from doing Chalitza. However, Asher Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rabbi Chanan Vasseman, if so, why is the halacha that someone who can't hear is not allowed to be mitzi other people with the Kiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Why don't we apply the same concept that we're learning now. He's a person that is required to do the mitzvah. There's a technical difficulty that he can't hear. So they explain. If we try to understand our Tosfos, we have to understand, on one hand, Tosfos says that in order to be able to do Yibam, you have to be able to do Chalitza. And on the other hand, Tosfos is telling us that this person who can't do Chalitza can do Yibam. What's Tosfos telling us? Tosfos is telling us that there are two separate categories. There's a category of being mechuyev in the mitzvah, and there's a category of doing the mitzvah. Being mechuyev in the mitzvah, technical difficulties do not prevent someone from being obligated to do the mitzvah. Doing the mitzvah, however, you have to be able to do the mitzvah. So therefore, the cheresh, in our Gemara, is obligated in the mitzvah of Yibam. This person without the left hand is obligated in mitzvah tefillin. However, the person who can't hear, so he, since he can't be mekayim the mitzvah, is exempt from the mitzvah, and therefore he cannot be mitzi anyone else with the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. Void, and the Gemara gives another reason why chalitza should not be performed with the second widow after yibum is performed with the first yibum. People should not say that this house was partially built with the widow who received yibum and partially not built with the wife who received chalitza. Tosfos takes this line out of the Gemara, because Tosfos says if the din indeed would be that the first wife should receive yibum and the second wife should receive chalitza, this concern that the Gemara is articulating, shlayim rubayis mektsos boni mektsos chalitz, would not be an adequate reason to obviate the requirement that the Torah would give. Ask the Gemara, v'yaymru, and what is if people will say that the house was partially built and the house was partially released? Answers the Gemara, if what would happen was that first Yibam was done and then Chalitza, Hachinami, we really wouldn't have a great concern. Because even if the second act, the Chalitza, is not required, so it's a meaningless Chalitza. It doesn't really do any harm. Ella, we're concerned that if a person will see that Chalitza is done after Yibam, perhaps people will make a mistake. First chalitza will be performed with one widow for hadam yabim and then yibam. Once that would be a very serious issue, because once chalitza is done with one widow, the other widow reverts back to the issur of eshes ach. The kamle b'layivna, it is issur to live with that woman. So to prevent that, Chazal said do yibam or chalitza with one widow and with the other widows nothing. Ask the Gemara of Eimer perhaps. What the Torah is teaching us is ki ikachada, when the brother left one widow to sky mitzvah yibam, that's when there's a mitzvah to have yibam. Ki ikatati, but if there are two or more widows like to sky mitzvah yibam, there is no mitzvah yibam at all. Answers the Gemara, im kain, if you would say so, saras erva de osrachman alomali. We know we began learning the Masechta with the din that if a brother dies and leaves two wives, and one of the wives is a relative of the brother, both women are exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam. If, says the Gemara, hash the tata ba'alma, when you have a brother leaving two wives, the Gemara is suggesting, amrit la'blei chalitza v'yibam ninu, there's no obligation to do chalitza yibam, tzaras erva m'boy, so why do I need a din of tzaras erva? There are two wives. By definition of the tzara, there must be two wives. And now we're saying whenever there are two wives, there's no din of yibam chalitza. Says the Gemara, lam aloi, why are you saying that there is no need to teach us the din of tzaras erva if there would be no din of yibam if the husband left two wives? Because itzrich, one could say, sakadat chamina, erva avroi kaima, that if a husband died and left two wives, and one of the wives is an erva to the yavam, so that wife is discounted because she's a relative. And that would be a situation as if the husband left only one wife, and then one wife that was left, v'tisyabim tzarasa, should be a candidate for yibam. Kamashman dasira, that's why the Torah is teaching us the din of tzaras erva. But perhaps the Gemara's contention that if there is more than one widow, there is no din of Yibam is correct? Answers the Gemara, Ela Yevimta, Yevimta Riba. The Torah uses the word Yevimta twice. The Pasuk says, V'm layachbet ish l'kachetz es Yevimta, for also Yevimta sh'ar al zekeinim. Why does the Torah teach us, why does the Pasuk use the word Yevimta twice? To teach us that even when there are multiple widows, the din of Yibam and Chalitza still apply. Continues the Gemara, as we learned in the Mishnah, Hois Acht Ksheira. If one of the widows that was left was a woman who may marry a Kayin, another one is a woman who is already disqualified from marrying a Kayin, and the brother, the Yavim, is choosing to do Chalitza, he should do Chalitza on the woman who's anyway disqualified to marry a Kayin, not with the woman who is qualified to marry a Kayin, and now by doing Chalitza will become disqualified. Amar Rav Yosef teaches us, Rav Yosef, Kanshan Rebbe. The lesson Rebbe is teaching us in this Mishnah is La Yishbach Adam Eiboyroi Vacherim Tzrichelhem. A person should not spill out extra water when others may need it. Here we're seeing, say the Mefarshim, the power of the din of Baal Tashchis with this woman who is not disqualified for marrying a Kayin. We should not, for no reason, make it disqualified. And in fact, Rabbeinu Yerucham says that if somebody wants to do this, we put him into Cherim, and we put him in, and we give him Makis Mardis, it's something that we really want to see avoided. And as the Mefarshim point out, the limit of the Gemara is how far we should take this concept about Tashchis. It's Meibayrai. It's really extra water anyway. Still, we have to be careful not to waste it. Here, similarly here too, the chances that this widow will get remarried to a Kayin are somewhat remote. Most people are not Kohanim. Still, it's inappropriate to disqualify her from marrying a Kayin if we do not have to. Says the Mishnah, Machzuk Rishosai. As we've learned, the halach is that if someone divorces his wife, if she does not get remarried, until she gets remarried, he could take her back. But if she gets remarried, and as the Mefarshim say, even if there was only Erisin, not Nesuin, he may not take her back. There's a Chi of Laf. Or a Noisei Chalutzasoi, if somebody marries the woman to whom he gave Chalitza, the Noisei Krivet Chalutzasoi, or if he marries the relatives of his Chalutza, teaches us Rabbi Kiva Yoitzi, they're not allowed to remain married, the Vlad Mamzer. According to Rabbi Kiva, a child born from a relationship of even Chai V'Lavin is a mamzer. The chamaimrim and a vlad mamzer, because there's only chai v'lavin, and there's no mamzer produced when there's only a chai v'lavin. Umoidim, however, the chachamim agree, benoisei krivus grushosai, that somebody wants to marries a relative of the wife whom he divorced. That means, if he marries his wife's mother, or his wife's sister, his former wife's mother, or his former wife's sister, as long as his former wife is still alive, that is a chiv kares, and then the child born of such a relationship, havlad mamzer. Ask the Gemara, the Savar Bekiva, does Bekiva really hold that a noisi grivas chalutzasa havlad mamzer, that the relatives of a woman that someone gave chalutza to are considered a chayv lav that would produce a mamzer? Vamrei Shlokish, we learned on Daf Mam Aleph, Kanshan Rebbe, the Rebbe taught us, Achois Grusha, Medivrei Torah, the Issa to have relations with the sister of your divorcee is Medoraisa. Achois Chalutza, the sister of the woman who received Chalitza from you is only Medivrei Seifrim. And the proof was, as Rish Lokish taught us, because the Mishnah taught us, that an Achois Chalutza, even though she may not receive Yibam, she does have to receive Chalitza. So if there's no Chiv Lav, why does the Rekiva in our Mishnah say that the child born from such a marriage would be a mamzer? Answers the Gemara, correct. Tani, we should change the gears of the Reisha, and Rekiva is talking about Krivas Grushasai, the relatives of his Grusha, that's where a mamzer is produced. But Krivas Chalutzasai, the Gemara wants to suggest now, Rekiva will agree, do not produce a mamzer. And says the Gemara Hachanami Mistabra. It makes sense to explain the Mishnah this way. The Tani Sefer, the Mishnah at the end said, Umaydim, the Chachamim agree, that Benoisi Krivis Krushasoi Shavlad Mamza. So explains the Gemara. Iam b'shlom ayrabah, if we'll say that the Reisha, Rabbi Kiva is speaking about a krovus grusha soy, hanu the tani maidim. So we could understand what the Mishnah teaches us, that the chachama maidim to Rabbi Kiva, that even though they disagree regarding the other women Rabbi Kiva mentioned, because those women are only chayv elavin, that the rabbanim do not agree produce a mamzer, a krovus grusha soy, which is a chiv kares, they do agree with Rabbi Kiva produces a mamzer. Eli Amrit Loi Ayriba, if we're going to say Rabbi Kiva is not speaking about a krovus grushasoi, mai umaidim, what is the terminology employed by the Mishnah of a maidim? They admit Rabbi Kiva wasn't referring to that woman that they should say we agree to you about her. Says the Gemara, Vedilma, Hakamashman, perhaps what the Rabbanan are teaching us is the Yesh Mamza Mechkaive Krisis. And the Rabbanan are telling Rabbi Kiva, even though we do not agree with you regarding a chayv ilavin, we do not agree that such people produce a mamzer. We do agree that chayv krisis produce a mamzer. As the Gemara, we don't need our Mishnah to teach us that. Haktani lola kamon. That's something we're going to learn later. The Mishnah says, "Eiz a mamzer. When is a mamzer produced? Kol shebasa shubala yavai. If people who have a chayv lav to live with each other live together, and they have a child, that's a mamzer." Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Tamani Aimer, Kosh Chayva and Lav Karis B'dei Shemayim, it is a Chiv Karis in this relationship, that's when there's a Mamzer. Halacha Kedvarov, so we already know that a Chayv increases, produce a Mamzer. Answers the Gemara, V'dilma Kasos Lantana, Rabbi Shimon Tamani. What the point of our Mishnah is, to show us that we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon Tamani, and therefore the Halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon Tamani, that a mamzer is produced from a chayv krisis. For Tosfos explains, we cannot really rely on a stam mishnah here, because it's a situation of a stam v'achkach machloikis that we just finished learning does not have the status of a stam mishnah. But rather, what the Gemara is trying to say is that this, by our mishnah saying that a mamzer is only produced by chayv krisis, we now have a proof that it's the rabbim that hold that that's what makes a mamzer, and it'll be a situation of yochid v'rabim halochim k'rabim. So that's what our Mishnah is teaching us, and we don't have a proof what Rabbi Kiva will hold by krovus chutzasai. Answers the Gemara, im kain, if that's the point that our Mishnah wants to make, that the chachamim hold that a mamzer is only produced from a chayiv krisis, list the shah chayv krisis. So different example of chayv krisis should have been mentioned. Krovus grushas alamali. Why does our Mishnah speak about the case of krovus grushas? Al shmamina, Ayriba, Rabbi Kiva wanted to, speaking about a krovus grushas also, and there, and it's krovus grushas that he holds produces a mamza, not krovus chalutzas. Answers the Gemara, dimalayim loy Ayriba. I'll say Rabbi Kiva is not referring to Krivus Grushasai. He's referring to Krivus Chulutzasai. Just for either the Tani Machs Grushasai, for Noisa Chulutzasai, for Krivus Chulutzasai, since all of these people were mentioned by Rabbi Kiva, Tani Nami, that's why the Mishnah, when it speaks about the Chayv Krisis, chooses Krivus Grushasai by the Rabbonim. So now, we have not been able to prove that Rabbi Kiva will agree that a Krivus Chulutzasai does not produce a Mamzer. Rather, al krovus chutzasai l'Rabbi Kiva have a mamzer. So the Gemara seeks a basis why Rabbi Kiva would hold this way. Amrav Chiya bar Abba Amrav Yochanan, haino tam Rabbi Kiva, why a krovus chutzasai produces a mamzer? The Amar Kra beis chalutz hanal. Hakosuv, the pasuk, kare beisai, causes chalutza beisai. So she has the same status as Grushasai, and just like Krivus Grushasai, everybody, and certainly Rabbi Kiva, will hold produces a mamzer, so too will be the din by Krivas Chalutzasai. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees, but Machsa Grushasai, that if somebody takes back his wife after he divorced her and she was married to someone else, Shavlad Pogam Lakuna, that child is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So as the Rishonim explained in Rashi, we're not referring to a situation if the child is a boy, because this boy certainly is not eligible to a kohen. The child is certainly a cholol if his father married, his father the kohen married a grusha, and he's certainly not allowed to act as a kohen. The question here is regarding to the daughter. Does she have the status of a chalola, and she may not marry a kohen? So says the Gemara that even the Rabbanon, as we're going to see, that hold that she's not a mamzer, will agree that the girl is a chalola. Not Hakla Moedim, and explains the Gemara, who's the Hakla Moedim that we're referring to? Shimon HaTamani. Da'af agav domen Shimon HaTamani, a mamzer mechayv lavin, even though Shimon HaTamani holds that this child is not a mamzer, because it's only chayv lavin, ne, the mamzer loim havi. Indeed, she's not a mamzer, pogam miyahavi, she is a pogam. Why? Because mekavachayma almana. We learn a kavachayma from the din of almana. The aloch is, a kohen gadol may not marry an almana. If a kohen gadol marries an almana, the child born from that marriage is a pogam. Argues the Gemara. Omal almana l'kohen gadol. If the case of almana l'kohen gadol, sheni surah shav b'kol, it's only a situation of a kohen gadol is the only person that may not marry an almana. So it's a very unique iser. Yet, b'na pogam, her child is pogam, the child of that marriage is pogam, zu, a grusha, seshur shabakol, or kahanim may not marry a grusha. Enadin, certainly the child born from such a marriage, b'na pogam, is a pogam. Says the Gemara, ikla mifrach. This kavachomer could be refuted. Ma la mona shikeni atzma mechalelas. The pasuk, when it discusses a mona who marries a kohen gadol, uses the words v'lo yichalel zaroi. And as the Gemara says, the pasuk could have just said lo yachel zaroi. Why does the Torah use the words lo yichalel zaroi? To teach us that not only is the child who's born from this marriage a chalala, but the almana herself also becomes a chalola. Regarding that, the halacha would be that if she's a daughter of a kohen, and even when the marriage would terminate, she would not no longer be allowed to eat truma. So it's a unique din that applies by almana l'kohen gadol that doesn't apply in other situations and cannot serve as a source to teach us that the child that's born from a kohen and a machzor grushasai is pogam. Void, furthermore, the pasuk says ta'eva, the pasuk regarding a machzor grushasai says ta'eva, to teach us, he ta'eva, she is rejected, however, ein b'nei ta'evim, it doesn't affect the children, and her children are not pegumim, the daughter born from a kohen and a machzor grushasai. Ask the mashal. The only reason we thought that the child was pogam, because we wanted to learn a kavachomer from almana. Once the Gemara effectively rejected that kavachomer, so obviously the child is not a pogam. Why does the Gemara have to add, why does the pasuk have to add, he to'eva ve'en b'ner to'eva? Answers the mashal, because as we learned when we discussed this whole parasha machzor grushasai, the pasuk calls the relationship between a person and his machzor grushasai as tamei. So since the pasuk uses the word tamei, I would think that that teaches us that her children are indeed affected. The children of a kohen and a machzor grushasai are pegumim. That's why the pasuk has to go out of its way to teach us he to'eva vein b'nei to'evim. V'oid, another reason not to accept this kavachomer, Tanya, it says explicitly in the Braisa, Hamachzor grushasai, v'noisei chulutzasai, v'noisei kruves chulutzasai. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, in all these cases, ain lo b'kedushin. The kedushin is not effective, because according to Rabbi Kiva, kedushin is not effective by chayv elavin. V'hi psula, she's disqualified, v'leda psulim, and our children are disqualified. V'kayfenei se'la haitzei, and we force them to separate. Chamayim, yesh lo b'kedushim. The kedushin is effective because according to Rabbanan, kedushin is effective by chayv elavin. Tzrichim and a get, and therefore, if there was such a kedushin to dissolve it, a get is required. V'hik shera, and she remains qualified. V'vlad kasha. Now, Laman, who is saying that she's qualified? Lav l'kahuna, that this child may marry a kohen. Obviously, the child is not a pogum. Obviously, the daughter is not a chalala. Otherwise, how could she marry a kohen? Says the Gemara, loy. What the Rabbanim mean to say that she's qualified means lakol. She's not a mamzer. She can marry another Jew. But a kohen, she may not marry. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if so, hik sher laman. The Chum said, she's qualified. The mother is qualified. Who are we saying she's qualified to? Ilaim lakol. If we're going to say that she's allowed to marry anyone else, pshita. Of course she's allowed to marry another Jew after she separates from this husband. Just because Mishum de Zanya, just because she entered into a relationship, she was a machzik rishasa, she wasn't supposed to go back to her husband. So just because she entered that relationship, afsalil kol, does she remain permanently disqualified to marry any other Jew? Elalav, when we say that she's allowed to marry anyone, it means she's allowed to marry even a kohen. So lakuna. So if the Brisa is saying that the mother may marry a kohen, and then the Brisa says that the child is also kosher, it must mean that the child is nami lakuna. Says the Mamidiri, that's not a proof. Hakadisa. The word qualified can mean different things for different women. For the mother, qualified kshera means that she's even allowed to marry a kohen. For the daughter, kshera means that she's only allowed to marry another Jew, but a kohen she will not be allowed to be married to because she's a chalala. And says the Gemara, hachinami mistabra. And this is a reasonable way of explaining this brisa. The Tani Resha, the first part of the brisa, which was explaining the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, says, he psula of Vlad Apostle. She's disqualified and a child is disqualified. He psula laman. So the question is, who does Rabbi Akiva say that she's disqualified to? Ilay melakol. Are you going to suggest that she's disqualified to marry any Jew? It's an untenable position. Meshum de Zanya, just because she was a grusha to live with a kohen, afsula lakol, does she become permanently disqualified to marry any Jew? Elalav, what must it mean? Lekahuna, that the mother may never marry a kohen. Uvlad psula laman. And then Rabbi Akiva said that the daughter is disqualified. Who does Rabbi Akiva refer to? Ilay melakuna. Are we going to say, because we're trying to suggest that the psula by the mother is the same as the disqualification by the daughter, and will say that the daughter is only disqualified lekuhuna, ilay melakuna, that the daughter is only disqualified to the kuhuna, halakal kasher, she can marry any other Jew? That can't be. Harm Rabbi Akiva is the mandama that says that the child produced from a chayv elavin is a mamzer. El pshita, what must be the disqualification of the daughter, lakol, that she's not to marry any Jew. So we see that the disqualification of the mother is different than the disqualification of the daughter. And even in Rabbi Akiva's opinion, the mother disqualified only from Kahanim, the daughter is disqualified from everyone. So midereisha hakadisa v'hakadisa, so just like in Rabbi Akiva, who's mentioned first, the word possible by the mother is not the same as possible by the daughter, Seifanami, Hakadisa, Apostle or Kasher is not the same. It's different things for different people. The mother is kosher for Kahuna and for everyone, and the daughter is kosher for a Jew, but not for Kohen. So now, the Gemara continues to prove Hita Eva Nami. When we said that the word Hita Eva comes to teach us that the child is not disqualified, I'm not going to say that it means he to Eva, vein to Benet to Eva. I'll say it means he to Eva, vein Tzeros to Eva. She, a massive Rishosoi, of a brother, took back a wife when he wasn't supposed to after they divorced, is not a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza, vein Tzeros to Eva, but that doesn't affect her Tzara. Abanel, but her children, maybe Tayavim, are rejected and are Chalolim. Ask the Gemara, Ella Mona Kasha, but we have a question for Amana, that we have a Kavachim for Amana. Ma Mal Amona Shekain Atzma Himas Chalolos. How could we compare to Amona, where she herself becomes a Chalolo, which is a unique thing that the Torah says by Amona? That reason below stays, and perhaps that should be a proof that the child is not a Chalolo. Says the Gemara, Eliyatma Hachiyatma. Well, we have to reverse, well, we have to change what we learned from the beginning. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Rebbe's teaching was that Hakom Moidim Beba Al Chayvik Krisis Shavlad Pogim. He wasn't speaking about a Vlad of a Machzik Rishosai. The Vlad of a Machzik Rishosai is kosher, and not even allowed to marry a Kohen, that girl. What we're referring to is the child of a Chayvik Krisis has the status of Pogim. Ask the Marman Hakom Moidim. Who's the one that's saying this? Rabbi Shua. Says the Marman Rabbi Shua. The Afgavdom Rabbi Shua. Avgadam Rabbi Shua ain't mam's machaivik krisis. Even Rabbi Shua is even more lenient than Rabbi Shimon HaTamani. And he says that chayvik krisis do not produce a mamzer. Only a chayvik misses bezdin. Says Rabbi Shua, ned mamzer loy havi. Even though he's not a mamzer, pogam me a hava. He will be a pogam. Why? Because I'll learn a kavachayim from Amona. Or ma Amona l'koin godl. If in the case of a monol kohen gadol, shen isur shav mekol, it's a very unique isur, and only applies between an monol and a kohen gadol. The child is pogum, zushi sur shav mekol. This woman, who everybody is not allowed to have relationship with a chayvei krisis, and a din shabnei pogum, Af will ask, v'hi chitema mal amona shikin atzma mischalelis, the amona, not only does a child become desecrated, become a chalolo, even she herself, so that can't perhaps serve as a source for chivik krisis. Says the Gemara, Hachinami, Kivin Shabala, if a woman had a relationship that has a chivik krisis, also zoyna, she becomes a zoyna, she may never marry a kohen. Some Rishonim suggest that if she's a bas kohen, even when she's a single, she will never be allowed to eat truma, so she does become disqualified for the kahuna, and therefore it's a legitimate kavachaymer to teach us that just like the daughter of an almanal kain gadol becomes a chalala, so too the child of any chayvi krisis, even according to Yeshua, that child is not a mamzer, however a pogum it will be.